Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala rasulihil karim amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Innallaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala an-nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammadin kama tuhibbu wa tarda wa bi'adadi ma tuhibbu wa tarda. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Maulaya salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihim. Honorable and respected ulama, beloved brothers and elders in Islam, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in one ayah says, wa in ta'uddu ni'matallahi la tuhsuha. If you try to analyze, you try to count, dissect one single ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, la tuhsuha, you will not come to any conclusion, you will not be able to fully appreciate one single ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Allama Sakhawi Rahmatullah Ali says, amongst these ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, that one single ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us is the ni'mat of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made us from the ummat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What was the cry, what was the continuous state of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? When Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum would describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would say, kana mutawasil al-faqra. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was continuously in one fikr. He was continuously in one concern. Da'im al-ahzan. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was perpetually in a worry. There was a grief on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was this fikr? What was this concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Can be judged by the fact that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of surah wad-duha, wahi had stopped for a short while. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became concerned. There is no wahi coming down to me again from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The kuffar began to taunt. They began to say that the shaitan, wa na'udhu billah, referring to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, had left Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All those conditions were upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah ta'ala revealed these verses of wad-duha. And in those verses, one verse, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. وَلَسَوْفَ soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you. Allah will grant. But what Allah will grant, that Allah ta'ala did not describe. I will give. There will be something I will give, but what it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not describe what that will be. And when I give this boon, this favor, this ni'mat, whatever it be, then fatarda, you will become absolutely pleased with it. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brings the ayah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam reads this ayat and he says to Jibreel, idhan la arda wa wahidum min ummati finnar. That I will not be happy, I will not be pleased in the condition that even one single of my ummati is in the fire of Jahannam. That was that fikr, that was that concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he had for us as ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Allah himself, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Allah ta'ala and his malaika send salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is this salat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Very briefly, one is rahmati amma, one is a very general rahma of Allah ta'ala. Wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah encompasses all things. Then one is a rahmah of Allah Ta'ala, which the ulama have termed as tamma, that like in the akhirat, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will bestow such rahmah that will be so complete upon each and every individual of Jannah, Allah Ta'ala grant us that there will be no need for anything more than that. And here Allah Ta'ala is speaking about the salat that Allah Ta'ala sends upon Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is rahmat-e khasa. It is a very special rahmah that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bestows upon our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This entails a whole host of different ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just one or two aspects with regards to that. That on the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen him out of all mankind to become the recipient of the Quran Sharif. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had purified the heart, the soul, the mind and the physical body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is a great rahmah of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the mother of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting at her house and she sees the perspiration of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was this perspiration like? There are so many riwayat, so many narrations that speak about when the perspiration of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one drop would appear, it would look like a pearl. That is just the look of it. And then she goes and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asleep and this perspiration is perspiring. She takes a bottle and she then places the perspiration of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that bottle. Now, have no doubt about the fact that Sulaim was the Radai aunt. She was the suckling, the milk aunt of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there was no issue of mahram and parda and anything of that sort. It has been narrated that that perspiration, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the son, it came into his inheritance, and then he made this bequest that when he leaves this world, then that will be placed onto his Mubarak body. And he said that this perspiration of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the smell better than that of musk. Now, we can go on speaking about the purity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the fact is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bestows so many favors, so many mercies upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much of rahmah upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the malaika also joined Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. O you who have brought iman, you and I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now commanding us also to send salat ala nabi. Salat ala nabi that you and I know as the word durood sharif. Just take this analysis of the word durood very quickly. It is a Persian word. It's not an Arabic word. And the word durood actually means that when a person plants one seed into the ground, and then from that seed, like that of corn and wheat, then we get many other corn and wheat seeds that come out of it. So like that, one durood that a person recites upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives so much of reward that it is like there are 50 or 60 other branches, other seeds that come of it by way of reward. Allama Sakhawi rahmatullah alayhi has written and he has enlisted, enumerated, and that also he said ikhtisaran. Very briefly, I will tell you all the rewards of one salat ala nabi, one durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it counts up to 38 different branches of reward. 38 different branches of reward. For example, a person recites one salat ala nabi, one durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just that one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grants
10 mercies in one hadith, and in one hadith 70 mercies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon the person that made that salat, that made that durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in one riwayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants 10 rewards. One is mercy from Allah ta'ala, one is rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that number 10. And then in one hadith, the reward is equivalent to Mount Uhud. Many of us made ziyarat of Madina Tayyiba, and Allah ta'ala take us from time to time with iman, and Allah ta'ala take us with ihtiram and honor and respect of and dignity of the Haramain Sharifain. But when you look at Mount Uhud, one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a few seconds, and my Allah is prepared to give so much of reward. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins. Allah ta'ala forgives 10 sins because because of one single durood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the ranks of a person by 10 in Jannat. So one is a material reward that we'll discuss just now, and one is the reward of the hereafter, and like that we find the ahadith are replete of the different ni'mats of one single durood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us by way of reward, by way of removal of sins, by way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah and mercy enshrouding an individual. In one hadith, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person that recites one salat upon me, one durood upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him 10 times. And the person that recites 100 durood, 100 durood upon me, brothers, and it doesn't take a long time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have inscribed bayna aynain, between his two eyes, bara'atum minan nifaq wa bara'atum minan nar, that this person is free from nifaq, is free from hypocrisy. If a believer has or supposed to have the greatest concern in his life is, how am I going to leave this world? Is it going to be in a state of iman? Is it going to be nifaq? Is it going to be kufr? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, number one, that it will be such a state that the person is free of nifaq, free of hypocrisy. Number two, وَبَرَاءَةٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ, the person will be free from the fire of Jahannam. And anyone, inshallah, that is free of the fire of Jahannam will leave this world in a state of iman. On 100 durood, there is one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we have difficulties that we are going through. We don't have to speak about the conditions. Everybody knows, whether it is with regards to finance, whether it is regards to health, whatever. 100 durood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill 100 needs. 70 of those needs will be banked for the needs of the akhirat. And 30 needs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill of this material world. So when we go on and we look into the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find it replete of different kinds of rewards, multitudes of rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows just on one single durood that is recited upon our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One great Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahimahumullah, that in his life he made so much of khidmat of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ulama have written that perhaps there may be a subject that he didn't write on that cannot be detected. Whether it was tafsir of the Quran, whether it was hadith, whether it was in the field of fiqh, whatever the fields of the shariat, he had written on those fields and he made that khidmat. One tafsir of his Quran Sharif is in 80 volumes, just for us to understand the personality. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him one very unique, rare and great ni'mat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala doesn't usually bestow upon many. And that was that in a state of being awake, not sleeping, but while he was awake, He saw and he had vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over 30 times. So obviously, those that are close to him or those that were close to him, they would inquire from him, after all, what is the recipe? What is the deed that you carried out? Many were in anticipation of the fact that he would say that he wrote tafsir of the Quran, or he wrote on the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He simply said, I cannot find anything much that I did, but the fact that Allah bestowed upon me the tawfiq to read an abundance of salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, in conclusion, Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi was also a very great muhaddith. He was a very, very great faqih. He was a contemporary of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He narrates that once I was in the mataf, making tawaf of Baytullah, and there was this young boy that he walked from step to step. He was reciting durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I found it very strange, because most of us would know that when we are making tawaf of Baytullah, we are either making dua to Allah Ta'ala, or we are making some dhikrullah, whether it is saying Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. I found it very strange that for 7 circuits, this young man was reading durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So eventually, when he completed the tawaf, I waited for this person and I asked him, why do you do this? He says, this person began to scrutinize my face, and then he asked me, young person, that who are you? So I replied, I am Sufyan Thawri. So the young person said, if it was anyone else besides you, I would have not divulged. But because you're such a great muhaddith, you're such a great scholar of hadith and fiqh, I will tell you why. Some years had passed, in the past, I had been coming for hajj with my father. And as we traveled, my father had left this world, he became very sick and he passed away. After he had passed on, immediately, his face blackened and his stomach began to swell. And his corpse, his body had a very bad and ugly shape. That caused me to worry. On the one hand, it is the safar of hajj, we can understand that we would have thought that he would have earned the rahmah and mercy of Allah Ta'ala. But on the other hand, this occurrence. So he said, when I saw that, I sat at his side and I began to cry. And I cried to that extent that I cried myself off to sleep. Now what must have been the nature of this youngster? What must have been his piety? He says that then I saw a very handsome person come in my dream. And in this dream, I'm seeing this person pass his hand over my father. And as he passes the hand, the face begins to glow once again. That swell on the stomach goes down, and now the body takes a very beautiful shape and form. I asked the person, who are you? The person said, I am Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he explained, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, all this that happened, the ugly, the bad shape, was for the fact that your father was a very great sinner and he didn't find the opportunity or the occasion of making tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. But then my coming and my passing my hand over, why was that? Is because despite all of that, your father would read an abundance of salawat, abundance of durood upon me. Brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, Allah give us all the ability to recite as much salat ala nabi upon our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will may open many doors insofar as tawfiq and hidayat is concerned, to carry out good deeds. The love of Allah, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come in our hearts. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create ease in many of our ibadat. And as far as the material world is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would open many doors. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Whoever is ill and sick, may Allah ta'ala grant them complete shifa, kamil, ajil, mustamir. Whoever has left the world,
May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant them the highest of Jannatul Firdaus. Wherever the ummah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the sufferings of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.